Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
Today, we are, again, in the second week of this series entitled Priceless, and we're asking the question, who holds your heart? Because that's really what this series is all about. And so if you weren't here last week, we kicked it off last week. I just want to kind of go back and recap last week just so you know where we came from, because this is important. This was the foundation that we started with last week. Our relationship with money speaks to our relationship with Jesus. What we said last week is there's a big difference in the way that the world talks about money, how they use money, and the way we're taught to use and view money through Scripture, and we need to be aware of that. There's a completely different approach. Another thing we talked about last week is that so often when we're having money problems, it's not really money problems. It's a heart issue. It's not money issues, it's heart issue. It has to do all with our hearts. And then we found out that everything that we have belongs to God. He's given us everything, and we are just supposed to be good stewards with that. It's how we steward those things. And one of the biggest obstacles that we have, and this was the challenge from last week if you weren't here, was to find contentment, to learn how to be content with where you're at. See, the whole secret to all of this is just being content where God has you, what He's given you, and where you're at in life at this stage. And so one of the things that we taught you last week was just a little phrase, a line that you could use to remind yourself to be content. And it was this line that says, you know, some other people have more, some have less, but what I have is good. It's good. What God has given me and where I'm at, I'm okay with that. I'm content in that because God has given all of this to me. And so we taught you that line last week in hopes that we would take steps toward contentment, because that's where all of this really begins. Because what happens when we find ourselves discontent? What happens when we start viewing the things that we have as not good or not enough? What happens in that moment when we start to question God's provision, where He has us and what He's given us, or we find ourselves discontented? What happens in that moment is, more times than not, we find ourselves in debt. And so today, I want to talk to you about this idea of debt. And so grab the Word of God, head over to Romans chapter 13 with us this morning. I want you to turn for yourself. I want you to read it, whether it's on your device or paper. And if you're new with us and you don't have a Bible, we've got stacks of them in the entryway there. You just grab one, put your name in it. It's yours. It's our gift to you. But we want you reading along, because there's something amazing that happens when we sit down with the Word of God. We open it up and we read it for ourselves. That's an invitation to the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. And I never want you to miss out on that. And so make sure that you're reading along with us, and don't take my word for it, because this is such an important aspect of our walk with Christ, of just getting into the Word of God. So today, I want to just tell you that I believe that God's people are the most generous people ever. Like, it's amazing when you see God's people move in a generous way. Generosity is this natural outflow of a heart that's committed to Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, it's because as a believer, when you come face to face with Jesus, you understand what you've been forgiven. The love that you receive from Jesus Christ. The fact that He loved us before we ever loved Him back. That He would give His life for you and for me. I mean, when we start to understand those types of things, we can't help ourselves but be generous in that moment. Now, if I was Satan, if I was our adversary working against God's people, and I knew that they were most generous people, and I wanted to minimize their impact in the world, if I put myself kind of in that mindset and go, okay, I'm the enemy now, and I want to fight against what God is doing in and through His church, what would I do? How would I overcome their generosity? Because there's no way to keep God's people from being generous. And I think if I was on the other side of this trying to fight it, minimize the impact that they have in the world, how would I do that? Well, I believe that the only way that you can keep God's people from being generous is to keep them broke, to keep them saddled to debt. Because I want you to imagine, just for a minute, What would God's church be like if people were not in debt? What could God's people do for the kingdom of God if they weren't in debt? And it's phenomenal when you really start thinking about it. Now, here's why I bring this up, because we should be the most generous people because of what we've been given. And you know that Jesus paid our greatest debt, the debt of sin. He took care of that for us on the cross. And so here's my big idea for the day, and I want us to kind of dwell on this a little bit today, is the fact that the debt that Jesus paid should never be overshadowed by financial debt. It should never be overshadowed by financial debt. And you might go, well, those are two different things. Not really. Because we just talked about what could God's people do if they were out of debt. But yet so often we're strapped to debt and we can't do what God is calling us to do. And I know this because this is what we do for a living, right? I mean, we lead a church and we try to get God's people to move in certain directions. And so often we hear, I would love to, but, right? And so I'm trying not to step on toes this morning, but I'm stepping on toes. I am. I know that. Because when I was there, when my wife and I first heard this and we were saddled with debt, it was a hard conversation for us to have. But it led to great things. And this is my prayer and hope for you, as if this would open up some conversations. This would lead you to a place where you would take this seriously. We're going to talk about it here in a minute, because we know that we're in trouble. As individuals, as a country, we're not doing well when it comes to our finances, are we? We were talking about this in the office, and Pastor Ryan made a comment. We all kind of laughed about it, and now that I think more about it, I'm thinking, that's really a sad comment. But what he said is, it's really a shame that our great-grandkids aren't around here to see how we're spending their money. It was like, ha, 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 fake laugh, hiding real pain, you know, that type of thing going on, because that's what it is. We're in trouble as a nation and where things are going right now, and so I think this is so relevant for us to be talking about. Because if you're one of those where you're still proceeding forward like normal and you're putting yourself in some serious debt with the direction that our country is coming, that's a dangerous place to be. See, in America, the debt industry is at $14 trillion right now. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't even figure out how many numbers that is. That's like ridiculous, $14 trillion. The average American has over $6,000 of credit card debt, just unsecured, just credit card debt, $6,000. Most of us, according to these stats, would say that we have a vehicle that we're paying at least $485 a month for. And that's general. So if you talk about new vehicles, it's even higher than that. It goes clear up to $570 a month for a new vehicle. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think looking at all of you, I know many of you, you have a Financial Peace University testimony. Like, you've been here long enough, you've gone through the courses, you've worked your way out of debt. I'm looking around the room. I know most of you, you've worked your way out of debt. Do you know what that means? That means that those stats that I just gave you are actually much higher, because it has to accommodate for those of us that are out of debt. So that means those numbers are skewed even more. That means that it's even more than $6,000 in debt would probably be the average. Now, my goal today is not to make you feel bad. That's not what I'm trying to do, okay? Please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to shame anyone. I'm just trying to make us aware of the problem. Because if we're aware of the problem and we take this seriously, the debt that Jesus paid should never be overshadowed by financial debt, then it's at that point that we can actually move forward. We can identify the problem and we can actually ask the question, what should our biblical approach to debt be? How are we supposed to deal with this debt problem? If it's an issue, if I'm one of those that's, I'm in that boat, I've got that kind of debt, I've got those types of payments, then what should I do? Because I definitely don't want the debt that Jesus paid to be overshadowed by financial debt. Because the reality is, when we're in debt, our debt affects every area of our life. Do you know that? Like, it's not just about dollars and cents. It's not just about the bottom line. It affects every area of our life. When we're in debt, it affects things like our relationships. Because let's be honest, some of us, we didn't take a loan from an institution or a bank. We took it from a friend or from family. Tell me that's not affecting your relationships. It affects our anxiety level. It affects the amount of peace that we can enjoy in life, the joy that we pull from life, that we can derive from life. It affects that. Because when you're saddled with debt, you're limited on what you can do. It affects where we work and why we work and how much we work. Debt affects every area of our life, including our relationship with Christ himself. And the debt that Jesus paid should never be overshadowed by our financial debt. See, in Romans chapter 13, Paul was talking about how we are supposed to respond to our authorities, you know, in life and our worldly authorities. And this is what he had to say in 7 and 8. He said, give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Now, check this out. He says, owe what? Nothing. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Owe nothing to anyone. Now, if you owe something, he says, pay it. You know, pay your taxes. If somebody is due respect, give them respect. If somebody's due honor, give them honor. That's what you need to do. But he says, owe nothing to anyone. Why? Because he knows this simple fact that debt is oppressive. It's oppressive. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you're there, you know exactly what I'm talking about because it weighs heavy on you, man. It's like carrying around a ball and chain all the time. And this truth that debt is oppressive applies to anyone in debt. It doesn't matter how you got there. If you went in willingly, like, oh, I want that. Like, I need that, right? And you just walked into debt, it's still oppressive. If you got in there unwillingly, maybe you didn't see any other option but to go into debt, it's still oppressive. It doesn't matter how you get there. And actually, Proverbs 22 tells us why. It says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. We're servant to the lender. We're slave to those who we're in debt to. Debt is oppressive. And to many of us, we've become way too comfortable with that debt, with that slave to the lender. We've just become too comfortable with it. Like, oh, well, it's just part of life. This is what you're supposed to do. See, the problem with debt is it is easy to get into, isn't it? Like, it's easy to slide into it. You take that, oh, yeah, pizza, just charge it. That's okay. We can get into debt so easy, but it is so hard to get out of it. It is difficult to get out of it. Grab your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 10. Head over that direction. Now, when we get to a place where we understand this truth that debt is oppressive, and when you finally get to a place where you're sick and tired of it, you're done with it, you're ready to make a change, and you want to find freedom, you want to get out from under that oppressive rule of debt in your life, and you want to move to a better day, when you finally get to that place, you have to understand three different things. I think there's three, I'm just going to call them realizations, right? Like, they become a reality in your life, and this is when you know that you're ready to move on. Now, Dave Ramsey, when he teaches on this, he talks about gazelle intensity. He talks about, you just got to get mad dog mean about it. You got to move out of it. You just got to make up your mind. And I think so many people that we've worked with, that's true. Like, they'll say, yes, I want to, but they don't really, nothing follows other than the words. And so if you get to this place when you understand these three things that we're going to teach you this morning, you'll know, okay, it's time. It's time for me to move out of oppression into freedom. And so let me just give you the first realization. When you get to this place, you're ready to move. You're ready to get out of the chains of debt, the bondage of debt, and you're ready to move to freedom. First realization is that the fact that your debt makes you sick. It makes you sick. And this one, I'm just writing down personally because this is what I felt. When we finally got there, like, I would sit down with my wife and we'd go over our books. I'd get sick. Like, my stomach would get turned, and she'll tell you, like, I was angry. I was mean for several days after because I was just like, why did we do this to ourselves? This is horrible. I never want to be in this place again. This sucks. Like, you'd just be fired up over it. It makes you sick when you really understand where you're at. Every time you make that payment on that credit card bill, it should make you sick. If you don't get sick, you've got the wrong relationship with debt. Like, we tell you to foster relationships here, up, in, and out, but we didn't tell you to foster one with debt, all right? That's one we encourage you not to foster. Why? Because debt is oppressive. The next time you go to cut that check or you're making that online payment to your credit card bill, I want you to think about this. Think about what else you could have done with that money. Like, I don't know about you, but we were paying some hefty, hefty monthly bills on our credit cards. And I started looking at that going, man, I could do this and I could do that. And this money could have, and we've been doing this for how many years? And it just makes you sick when you think about what you could have done with that money. Now, when the people of God have margin in their budget, that they're able to be generous. They're able to do the things that God's called them to do. They're able to give more. They're able to love more. They're able to be more generous. It's like what Paul said just a minute ago, what we read in verse 8. It says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. When we're not in debt, we're able to owe nothing to anyone other than just loving God and loving each other. And that's great debt right there. If all you owe people is just to love them, that's a great place to be. And that's what we desire for each and every one of you. To owe nothing to anybody, but just to be able to focus on the great commandment, right? Love God and love others. This first realization is that it makes us sick. Now, how do you know that you're ready to move from oppression to freedom? Well, first of all, it makes you sick. Secondly, I think we'd say it this way, your debt restricts the lordship of Jesus in your life. When you start to realize that, when you come to that realization of, oh my gosh, this debt is keeping me from being able to do the things that God wants me to do. Now, you might be going, well, that's pretty churchy. Well, yes, it is, but it's also very biblical too, because we see it everywhere. When people are in debt, they can't do the things that God wants them to do. As I just told you, there's so many times we've had this conversation with people. Hey, this is what we're doing. Oh man, I want to be a part of that. But man, I really, really want to go and work in the mission field. Like, I want to take a trip with Pastor Ryan and go to Bolivia and work at the orphanage down there because I've heard about it for years. But do you know what the number one obstacle for missions is? Ryan will tell you this. It's not fear of going overseas. It's not even fear of the shots, you know, the yellow fever shot and all the stuff that you got to get to go. You know what it is? It's I can't pay for it. I can't go because I can't afford to go help orphans in a third world country. It restricts the lordship of Jesus in our lives. John chapter 10 says it this way. Jesus is speaking here, and it says, He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a robber, a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. What Jesus is talking about is there are so many different voices in your life. There are voices that are giving you a message contrary to what you see in Scripture. And the voices in our world have gotten so loud that many of us have fallen for them. It's okay. Everybody does it. It's fine. It's the way that you get stuff. Go ahead. Get that third credit card. It's not a problem. A lot of people are doing it. It's all good. Take a second mortgage out on the house. That's okay, right? And we just find ourselves going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. See, Jesus is saying, look, there are a lot of voices in your life. And as sheep, one of our biggest jobs is to be able to discern the voice of our shepherd. At least which shepherd are you going to follow, right? You got to figure that out. And we find ourselves just struggling and trying to discern God's voice from all the other voices in this world. I want you to remember, your debt restricts the lordship of Jesus in your life. Why? Because we start listening to other voices. Jesus says, look, I'm the gate. I'm the protector. The people that enter in through me enter into the kingdom of God. He protects those sheep that belong to him. But there's this enemy out there who his only job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And some of you, you hurt when I read that because you're like, that's where I'm at. Like, man, I've been hunted. And my finances are, they're slaughtered right now. And I can't move at all because of the debt, because it's so oppressive in my life. But Jesus says, look, I came so that you could have a life. It says rich and satisfying life. I don't want you to misunderstand that. That's not always monetary, is it? I tell you this all the time. When you live your life according to the laws that God has given you, you live in a life that is more meaningful. It's deeper. It's rich. It's a rich life. And that's what he's referring to there. Life is so much better when we follow God's laws. He came so that we might have life and have it to the fullest. But many times, we, you know, as Christians, we have this attitude like there's a certain line we don't let Jesus cross. Like, yes, Jesus, I want your mercy and I want your grace. That dying on the cross thing, man, thank you for that. But this money thing, this is mine. Like, you can't have that. Pastor Mike and I were talking this last week about this, and he brought up a statement that he said, you know, I think this one guy said it, and we went and looked, and the guy didn't say it. And so I'm just going to credit Pastor Mike with the quote because I just thought it was so amazing. But what he said was, people will cling to the things that rob them the most. And I was like, man, that's profound. Cling to the things that rob us the most. But what Jesus is saying in this moment is that when we live according to his biblical principles, when we have a biblical perspective of our life, of our marriage, of our relationships, of, yes, even our money, because that's included in that, then he has a better plan for us, that life is better, that he leads us to a life that is rich and satisfying. And when we shackle ourselves to debt, we shackle our bank account, you may not know this, but your heart goes with that. Do you realize that? When you shackle your bank account with debt, you shackle your heart with debt as well. There's moments in life where Jesus is going to come to us and he's going to call us to generosity. He's going to call us to give, to act, to serve, to be generous. And many times that debt restricts us from being able to follow him into that opportunity. I know that because, like I said, I've talked to many of you. Man, I really want to go on a missions trip, but I just can't do it. Just can't do it. Tonight, we have a celebration service, and I want to encourage you to come to this. It's going to start at 7 o'clock tonight. Have a baby dedication. We're going to be doing a bunch of baptisms, and one of the reasons why I want you to come to this is not just for the baptisms, the celebration, the worship, and prayer, but one of the things that we're going to be encouraging to pray for over tonight is the seven initiatives. You realize God has given Mountain View Fellowship a massive vision. He's given us a big vision, and we're taking some steps in that direction. And there's so many things on this list that I look at, and I'm like, man, I can't do that on my own. And if I'm honest, in my weak moments, I'm like, God, I don't even know if you can do this, right? If we're honest, because it's such a big vision, reaching Eastern Colorado with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as we're looking at that, and we go, okay, what's on that list? Well, the easiest one for us would be like Saturday night, right? We can start a Saturday night service because we got a lot of people that say, man, I work on Sundays. I can't do it. If you would do something off of Sunday morning, I could come to that. And so we got a whole group of people that want to be a part of this church, and they just can't because Sunday mornings don't work out for them. And so we're like, okay, well, to do that, we also want to do a Spanish-speaking service. And so maybe we could do those two together on a Saturday night. But you know what that means? It means we have to go and hire a Spanish-speaking pastor so that they can pastor this Spanish-speaking congregation. You know what that takes? It takes funds. The Connection Pavilion. We want to build a pavilion out here where it's just open. It's we can open it up or we can close it in the winter or whatever, but we can gather after services. You just go out. The games are on. You can sit with friends. You can get a $2.50 hamburger and just hang out and enjoy yourselves, right? But again, you got to go to an architect. You got to get some drawings done, and that costs some money. And you could just go down the list, all of these things. We have to hire a campus pastor for linemen and all of this stuff. And you know, here's the thing about it. If we were handling things the way God wanted us to handle, these would be no problem. Like, we wouldn't even have to think about it. We could follow God, and every time he just said, hey, move, we would move. But see, our debt restricts the lordship of Jesus in our lives. And we have to understand that, man, this is important. This has more to do with just my bank account, but it has to do with the impact that I'm going to have in the world around me, in my family, in my community, in Eastern Colorado. So how do you know that you're ready to move from being oppressed by debt into freedom? Well, number one, it makes you sick. Number two, you understand that it restricts the lordship of Jesus in your life. And then number three, your debt is spiraling into unbelief. Now, I hope this isn't true for you, but I've seen this happen so often. We put ourselves in such a position when it comes to our debt, such a financial position, that we are oppressed. Our hearts, as I said earlier, is shackled with debt, and we find ourselves where we become discontented in life, where our faith in God begins to be lowered. We start to lose our faith that God can do anything about our financial situation. The fear and anxiety in our life, it starts to be elevated. We start thinking about, I don't know, man, I'm scared. My next paycheck might not come in. What if I don't get paid on time? We start to struggle with that. And God, are you providing for me or not? Even though I'm the one that dug this hole. And we find ourselves in a place where it starts to lead us to unbelief. It all spirals into unbelief. Debt secures itself to our bank account. It secures itself to our hearts. And it starts to drive everything about us. It drives our relationships with one another. It drives our relationship with Christ. And as I said before, the debt that Jesus paid should never be overshadowed by our financial debt. But that's exactly what happens. And I know when I first said that, some of you are like, that would never happen. But as you start to look at it closer, you realize this is exactly what happens. I think it's one of Satan's greatest plans to keep God's people broke, keep them questioning God's provision and whether he cares for them or not. Now, if I'm honest in my own life, I've had seasons like this. As I said, in our early years of marriage, we put ourselves in a lot of debt. As Ramsey said, we wanted in 3 years what it took my parents 50 years to obtain. And we sunk ourselves in so much debt. And we had great jobs. We were making great money, but we were spending way more than we were bringing in. And it led us to these places of questioning our faith, of unbelief. It led us to compromise. It led us even into sin. I know where this leads. And these are the moments that I wish I could go back and I wish I could undo them. I wish I could relive them. I wish I could fix them, but I can't because it was what I created. And it took us years to dig out of that. And one of the things I had to learn is I can't go back and I can't fix the past, but what I can do is I can change what's ahead of me. I can change the direction. I can change what tomorrow looks like. I can acknowledge that I am in debt today and it makes me sick. And I can begin doing the hard work to get myself out of it, to pay it off, to owe nothing to no one. Like what Paul says, just no one to anyone, just nothing. You owe nothing. You're just free. You're not shackled. You're not oppressed by debt at all. That is a goal for us as believers in Jesus Christ. And we can do that until we are able to listen to that voice of God and just respond to him in whatever he wants. Now, I pray that your debt wouldn't lead you to spiral into unbelief. I pray that for you. How do we keep that from happening? If that's you, if you're at those three realizations this morning and you're like, man, I'm tired of this. I know God has something better for me and I want that. I know it's going to be hard work, but I'm ready for it. If that's you, then here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to go out in the lobby today and I want you to hit our FPU table and I want you to sign up for FPU. We're going to be running classes through February and March. And I want you to sign up for that. And if you can't make the date or the day of the week or whatever, just let them know. And we'll see what else we can work out with you, okay? But go and talk to them. Now, I will tell you this up front. It's $50 to take the class. But here's what we're doing. We believe in it. So what we're going to do is if you pay the $50 and you go to the class and you finish the class, we're going to give you your $50 back. The $50 is just mainly just to say, I'm going to be there. And so I want to help you. I want you to experience that freedom that God has for you. This is one of the first steps that you can take is just go sign up for FPU. And then, of course, while you're at that table, you can actually sign up for a free account. Through the church, we paid it for a license, and it's available to everybody at Mountain View Fellowship. So you can actually go and you can Set up your own account, and all the tools are available to you. AJ and Meredith are going to be at the table. If you're curious about what Ramsey Plus can do for you, they'll show you. They'll pull it up on the computer and show it to you. But it's all the budgeting tools, it's the debt snowball, the legacy building, all of that is available to you free of charge through the church. So I want you to take those action steps today, all right? We're going to move into a time of worship. And I want to remind you that the debt that Jesus paid should never be overshadowed by financial debt. That's our goal this morning. We want to make sure that nothing overshadows the debt that Jesus paid for us. I want us in this time of worship to say, I'm never going to allow my anxiety or my fear to overshadow the debt that Jesus paid for me because of my sins. And when we get to that place, I think when we find ourselves in a place where we're just committed, we're focused on what Jesus has done for us, I think that place is where we find our freedom. And so I'm going to ask, if you would, go ahead and stand for us. I'm going to ask our prayer team, some of our elders, if they want to come down front. During this time of worship, we're going to offer up prayer for you. You might need somebody just to lay hands on you and pray for you this morning. Or maybe there's something specific in your life you need prayer for. I want to encourage you just to come down, see one of them. They're going to be down here by the steps, and they'll just pray with you this morning. Sometimes when it comes to our finances, it takes a long time to find freedom. My wife and I, it took us years. It took us years. But we had a God who was faithful. Spiritually, we had even a bigger debt. But the great news is, when we received Jesus Christ in that moment, in an instant, our debt is gone. And if you haven't started there, that's where you need to start this morning. My prayer this morning is that you would move from oppression to freedom. First, spiritually, and then secondly, financially. But start with the spiritual first, all right? We're going to spend some time in worship and prayer this morning. Just feel free to move about the room, to visit this prayer team, to pray with one another, and to worship with us loudly this morning.